Welcome to the show, Live Free Austin, where every day we give you the news, views, and tools you can use in order to live a more free and prosperous life. I'm John Bush, blasting out of the good old Central Texas Command Center. Joined with me always is
Jason Rink. Good to have you today, and we've got a lot of interesting things to talk about today. First off, we've got Deborah Medina joining us on the show today from the organization We Texans, and she always is pretty opinionated, got a lot of things to say.
Controversial.
Yeah, so she's going to be joining us here in the second half of the show. And really, we want to talk today about issues regarding property. And, you know, we kind of covered this, and we cover this every week. We talk about that, you know, really our main focus here is to talk about the issues of the day, talk about things that are going on, talking about choices we can make as people. And we want to talk about it in the context of the philosophy of liberty, this idea that we are sovereign individuals who own our bodies and we own our property, and government shouldn't tell us what to do with those things.
That's right. The philosophy of liberty.
Yes, and we want to approach that from a very consistent position, and we believe that, you know, typically the Republicans and the Democrats out there don't approach this from a consistent position.
No, they don't, unfortunately.
And hopefully that's something that Deborah Medina will talk about today as well when we talk about this issue of property and who owns what we own.
Yep.
And speaking of who owns what we own, I just wanted to share, I just flew back from Chattanooga, Tennessee, from being out there at an event called Nullify Now, which I highly recommend you check out, nullifynow.com. And, you know, Austin is a great city, people. I like it.
It's the greatest city in the world.
However, it does not have a Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's is one of the finest grocery establishments in the world. And I just want to put this out there right now. Trader Joe's needs to come here, and then I will certainly be a lifetime resident of Austin.
You should sign him up for sponsorship.
That would be nice. And so what happened was I wanted to get a few Trader Joe's items when I was passing through the Atlanta area. And so I went to a Trader Joe's, and I got some Trader Joe's items, and my son loves Trader Joe's minestrone soup. And I said, you know what? I'm going to pick up some Trader Joe's minestrone soup, and I'm going to pack that in my suitcase, and I'm going to try to go through the TSA security. Now,
what a terrorist.
I know. Well, my thinking was, I know that you can't have a lot of liquid in containers, but I'm thinking, this had a substantial amount of vegetables. So, you know, I thought maybe they were going to let me slide. So sure enough, my bag goes through the conveyor belt, and they pull it aside to do a little, sir, we need to take a closer look.
We need to violate your privacy a little bit. Get used to it, son.
That's right. So they opened it up. I was kind of hoping they wouldn't see it. But sure enough, these gum shoes there at the TSA, they uncovered my contraband. Two cans of Trader Joe's minestrone soup. And so Officer Maldonado proceeds to tell me that they're going to have to confiscate my soup. And I told him I needed to see his manager. So Officer Moses comes over and she tells me that she's going to confiscate my soup. And I said, will I be reimbursed, compensated for my soup, for my private property that you're taking? And do you know what they said? They said that they would not compensate me for the soup that they were going to take from me. They took my soup, and I'm not happy about it. And so what I wanted to, now listen, seriously, it sounds like a small deal, doesn't it? But it's not. I wanted to take the soup, and my only choices were that I could go mail it to myself, or I could check it in a bag at a cost of $30 because I was not flying Southwest.
Good choices, just like Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is they said that I was voluntarily surrendering it. Not against my will in any way. I was just surrendering it voluntarily because I did have choices, after all. I could spend $30 to ship $6 worth of soup to myself. So that's the question. Is the confiscation of soup going too far in the war on terror?
I think it's going pretty far. Yeah, and I think it goes back to a problem of the TSA operating a monopoly of the airline industry. If it were up to me, I wouldn't mind, you know, Jason, if you were sitting next to me and I didn't know who you were. I wouldn't mind if you had
little Trader Joe's soup in your bag. I wouldn't be afraid of it. And if that Trader Joe's soup happened to ignite or somehow bring a plane down, then I wouldn't fly with that airline anymore, and other airlines would pick up on the idea that, you know, carrying soup, Trader Joe's soup especially, is a threat to the air here in the United States, a threat to our security.
Well, and, you know, I found myself thinking two things. Number one, if it were chunky soup, would that have been a difference? Because that's the soup that's so chunky, eat it with a fork. And so maybe it wouldn't have been over, like, 4 ounces of liquid. So I might have had a case in court on that. That was the first thing. The second thing is, I thought, why can't the individual airlines determine what items can and cannot be brought on carry-on bags?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it there's this blanket statement, no liquids whatsoever on any airline by the federal government, and different airlines can't say, you know what, we're willing to take that risk, and if customers want to come here and have less hassle through security, that they'll gain that market share? Because I would frequent an airline that didn't put me through body scanners, didn't put me through the hassle of taking off my shoes, taking my soup, what have you. And so there's a great case to be made for private security, the airlines using their own private security, arming the pilots. Hey, I don't know. Would we go so far as to say concealed carry by passengers on planes?
Now, that's extreme.
Wow, that's crazy. We don't want to go there.
And it's only getting worse and worse, and many of the things that they do are rather dehumanizing. You mentioned the body scanners. Thankfully, we don't have one here at the Austin-Bergstrom International Airport. And the reason why we don't, they say, is because the second story where they do the scanning or the you know, the pat-downs where you go through the security checkpoint, it wouldn't be able to hold the heavy and expensive, I might add, body scanners. You know, they just put one in JFK Airport recently. There was a news story, New York Daily News, I believe, and Janet Napolitano was there for the unveiling of the wonderful Keeping Us Safe. I feel secure that now that these are here, these body scanners.
I do, too.
And wouldn't you know it, she didn't volunteer to take a trip through to demonstrate how wonderful and joyful it is to have your privacy violated. So, yeah, keep an eye out on those body scanners. They're popping up all around the country, all around the world, for that matter. And I think that's definitely a step too far. The soup, you know, the soup's out there, but these body scanners.
Well, are you saying that there's no chance that, you know, those nude X-ray photos of Janet Napolitano, they're not going to be popping up on the internet anytime soon?
We'll discover that she's really a man.
Oh, no.
That's the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security you're talking about there, John. Show a little respect to the office.
Yes, certainly.
Lord
certainly
knows they respect we activists.
That's right. Well, and this whole idea of property, again, it comes back to this idea that, you know, we own the fruit of our labor.
Yes.
And that's, John Locke made that argument.
Yeah.
John Locke made the argument that we own our body and, you know, based on our humanity, it's our possession. And then when we go out there into the world and we take resources or materials and we mix that with our labor and our ingenuity and create something new, that is our property. And and in our modern society, many times that's just, you know, I go to work, I get money and I buy something and that becomes my property.
Give me
right?
40% right now.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess I don't own.
I said no.
but this idea.
Seriously, fork it over.
This idea is just that what right does somebody have? What right does government have to seize our property? Even if it's, you know, for national security purposes in a very dubious sense, you know. So anyway, we do have a video that is posted at livefreeaustinradio.com. It's called The Philosophy of Liberty, Property, video produced by the Foundation for a Free Society. Which
I love
is,
those guys.
I do, too. And they're a great sponsor of this show, the Foundation for a Free Society. You can check them out at myfreesociety.com.
Whose free society?
Mine and yours.
.com.
And so what we're talking about here today is property. That's the issue.
Yeah, and Deborah Medina is a wonderful guest to speak about private property with. As many of the listeners know, she's now working with a new organization, We Texans, in order to push, you know, an effort to ban private property taxes here in the great state of Texas. So a lot of people argue that you can't really own your property when, in essence, you're renting it
from the locality that you live in, so they can pay for, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff they're paying for here in Austin.
Right, and the property issue gets into a lot of different issues. It gets into taxation. Mm-hmm. It gets into eminent domain.
Oh, yeah.
It gets into our physical property, like our soup. So property is just this all-expansive idea. I mean, we aren't just talking about a piece of land. We're talking about things regarding whether or not we can ever truly own that land, whether or not taxation on ownership of land is acceptable, and, mm-hmm. and what possibly alternatives to that might be, I think mm-hmm. Deborah Medina will talk about. So that's going to be in the second half of the show. We're going into a break. What we're going to be covering here in the next segment is a question to think about. Should hookah bars be able to allow smoking in them?
It's terrible.
Or should there even be hookah bars? And, you know, is that just another example of a petty government regulation trying to drive businesses out? And
too much government.
I don't know. Is
it's
it?
For your better interest, hookah, ladies
maybe
and
hookah
gentlemen.
Bars shouldn't have tobacco smoking
maybe
allowed
we should
in
ban
there.
Tobacco.
Maybe we should ban
living
bars.
Ban businesses. It all. That's what we're
ban
doing.
Ban everything. Okay, so join us for this next segment as we talk about how the government is out of control. Don't worry
about a thing. More energy. Stronger immune power. Improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Have you ever wondered if the news is telling you everything there is to know about important current events? Well, so do we. We're Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, one block south of UT. Interested in that book or video that you've heard about from your favorite talk show host? More than likely, we've got it in stock. Give us a call at 480-2503 or visit us at bravenewbookstore.com and let Brave New Books help you read between the lines.
Hi, Harlan Dietrich, owner of Brave New Books. What do you think of when I say lifeless, dumb creatures that usually work in groups to surround and kill their victims? If you said a federal government employee, you're only half right. I'm really talking about zombies. Brave New Books has been Austin's premier zombie preparedness store for over 4 years. When friends and family became infected and ignored you when talking about important issues, you could always come to the bookstore to get the resources you needed to help slay those ghastly creatures. Well, now Brave New Books needs you to come out on Sunday, October 24th, to the U.S. Art Authority for the first annual Brave New Books benefit and zombie costume ball with special guest Jim Mars. Also live music, games, and Jim Mars will be giving a talk on his new book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy: How Zombie Banks Are Destroying America. Come dressed as the best zombie and win an autographed copy. $10 at the door helps support the bookstore, so please try to attend Sunday, October 24th, starting at 6 p.m. at the U.S. Art Authority at 29th and Guadalupe. Because remember, only together, as a community, can we stop the zombie apocalypse.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Live Free Austin on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker.
That's right. Living free today. Hope you're living free today
living
in
free
Austin.
Every day. All day. So, yeah, we got some great news stories to cover, some very intrusive news stories, and going back to the private property idea. This is going to be a recurring segment because these news stories and these type of actions are happening ever so often here in the city of Austin and these great United States. And it's going to be a little segment on too much government when we ask, is this too much government? How much government is too much government? And we got a couple stories to cover in this instance, the first which comes out of the New York Daily News again. And the headline is a city councilman wants to ban creation of new hookah bars. bars in city says smoke is dangerous. So a lawmaker wants to snuff out the growth of the city's hookah bars, saying herbal smoke from the lounge's water pipes is just as dangerous as cigarettes.
I like that he wants to snuff it out.
Snuff it out,
no,
yeah.
That is clever.
Clever writing.
Props to that writer.
So is that too much government?
Not in New York City. There's never too much government in New York City.
Ban salt.
That's right.
Ban guns.
Well, and here's the question. This often comes up, you know. I hear this when we're talking about the smoking issue. It's kind of like, well, you know, I smoke, but I'm okay with there not being smoking in bars or restaurants. No, I'm saying that as people say this. Hey, I smoke, and I don't really care if there's no smoking allowed. It's fine. And people who don't smoke, I'll hear them say, yeah, you know, I'm glad it's banned in a restaurant.
It's so dangerous.
You know, so, yeah. But the question is who should really be making the decision of whether or not it's banned in restaurants or in bars or in hookah bars? And is there a difference? Is there a difference between whether it should be banned in bars versus restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people that I've talked to in the past, again, have said, well, you know, I expect that there's going to be smoking in bars, or it used to be the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, hey, that's cool for it to be in bars, but not in restaurants.
Yep, and it goes back to the joys of the market and private property, both consistent tenets of the philosophy of liberty. So, you know, it's obvious that there's a market for bars and restaurants free of cigarette smoke, secondhand smoke. And that's evidence here in the city of Austin. It was a narrowly passed 51% to 49% to ban smoking. But here's my thing. In a genuinely free society, if I saw that there were patrons that didn't appreciate frequenting my establishment or that weren't frequenting establishments because there was smoking, I would see that there might be a good market there for a bar that doesn't allow smoking. And then you'd get your own clientele that don't appreciate the smoke. So the market naturally weeds those things out.
Right. And the idea here is that, you know, some establishment, I mean, God forbid, there would be certain establishments that allowed smoking inside and certain ones that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That there would be a difference, that every business wouldn't be homogenized in identical.
Yeah, smoking
right?
sections. And then if the smoking section is too open or too close to the non-smoking section, then there's the cue for the business owner to close it off or maybe close it entirely.
The entire argument goes back to the question, who owns the business?
Mm-hmm. The government owns everything. Give me a 40%.
Right. And if the government does own the business, then by all means, they should be able to make these large, broad, sweeping legislation, petty legislations, if they in fact own the business. And maybe that's the point. Maybe they do, in fact, own the businesses. They just haven't told us.
Well, we've got to pay property tax to them.
It's true.
Here's the million-dollar question, and I'm going to go there. For you, Rink, the mad owl to Rand Paul, the big question. Well, if these owners genuinely do own their business, should they be allowed to turn away African Americans or other minorities? Or Democrats or Republicans, for that matter.
Right, yeah. And, well, when it comes to a private business deciding what type of clientele they choose to serve, you know, I think the race issue always comes up. It's like, hey, if an establishment is allowed to discriminate against race, that somehow we're going to end up being back in like the 1800s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, let's put it into any context, really. I mean, let's talk about, you said Republicans and Democrats, okay? So let's say that I'm a raging conservative and I don't want any of those filthy progressive liberals coming into my establishment, right?
Hippies.
That's right. Get them out of here. And I've got, you know, posters of Sean Hannity on the wall and Rush Limbaugh and all of the people that I idolize. And I don't want the progressives to come in there. Should I be allowed to say that? You know, I'm a burger joint or I'm a bar? I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is that a business should be able to do that. Because here's what we believe, or at least what I believe, is that a genuine free market actually penalizes companies that make decisions that aren't based on economics, but are based on prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Because if an establishment decided they weren't going to serve all of the liberals in Austin, they would suffer financially.
They would go under very quickly.
Exactly. And so actually liberals should, encourage this practice because it could put the conservative business owners out of business, right? But see, the idea is that it's driving those clients or customers somewhere else. The same is true as if they would deny a liberal from working at that establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that liberal is skilled and talented in their area of expertise, then they're actually turning away a laborer or a worker who's profitable.
Mm-hmm.
They will go to another business, and they will make that business owner money. So I know we don't like to think of it that way. We don't like to put that much trust in the free market, but
in ourselves.
You know, we got to remember, who was it that institutionalized a lot of the prejudices in this nation?
A lot of the segregation.
Here in Austin,
it was the city of Austin, actually, that segregated the city back in the 20s. So in this day and age, if the free market were allowed to flourish and a business owner, a restaurant owner, were to not allow African-Americans or Republicans or Democrats, I know I wouldn't eat there, and I think they would probably go out of business rather quickly.
Yeah, and so...
Let the market decide.
Maybe we should put this up as our Facebook... topic of the week. I'd like to hear some feedback on this.
Facebook comment of the week, yeah.
So let us know what you think. Check it out.
Check it. Live Free Austin Facebook page. So we think that is too much government. If somebody wants to open up their hookah bar, by all means, go right ahead. Smoke as much hookah as you please and enjoy it. It's pretty tasty, the shisha. But here's another instance of too much government. And this one's actually an interesting story. Here in the city of Austin, I was going over the agenda for the upcoming meeting on the 28th. And wouldn't you know it, in there I found a little doozy of a regulation. They're going to now allow for the permitting for people who want to serve hot food at the farmers market. So my initial gut instinct was like, oh, geez, great. Now they're going to have to require a permit. But I did a little research, called one of the council members' offices, and it turns out that there's a state law on the books right now that criminalizes that doesn't allow you to. It bans it. And I imagine there's a penalty. So sure, they criminalize it, serving hot food at farmers markets. And what the city of Austin is doing is coming in and saying, you know, forget about the state law. We're going to allow serving hot food at farmers markets, but you got to ask permission from the city first. So in a sense, it's allowing for a few more freedoms, but you still have to ask permission, which is rather interesting. And in fact, it's actually inconsistent with the state law. The city of Austin, their attorneys aren't too happy about that. And it reminds me of a time when Texans for Accountable Government was pushing back on the police blood withdrawals. We almost passed a blood withdrawal ban that would have banned police officers from ever being trained to do blood withdrawals. But they said, nope, there's a state law that says law enforcement shall use all lawful means, meaning we can't take away any lawful means. The excuse that it was inconsistent with state law.
Well,
it's interesting.
You know, here we just get into that arena where it's not freedom if you have to ask permission.
Yep.
And when I've got to ask permission to serve my, you know, award-winning chili.
Your soup that they took from the...
That's right. When I want to serve my soup at a farmer's market, you know, I should be able to do that. And, you know, man, is that just too much freedom? Is that anarchy at the farmer's market? I don't think so. Well,
the market takes care of it. Again, if you get sick, then the word's going to spread. Hey, don't eat Jason Rink's soup. That stuff made me vomit all last night.
Which would give the TSA a reason to take it away. But we're going to go into a break, and when we come back, we are going to be joined by Deborah Medina from We Texans. We're going to get her to weigh in on some of these issues regarding property taxes, or as she likes to say, property rents. We'll find out why. And so stick with us until after the break. This is Live Free Austin.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us on Live Free Austin on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker. Stimulating talk all the time. Today we have a wonderful guest lined up for you. Her name is Deborah Medina. She's a good friend of mine, good friend of the radio shows, good friend of the local movement. She was the chair of the Republican Party down in Wharton County, a longtime Republican Liberty activist. gotten a lot of major changes, a lot of great successes over the years. Of course, as many of you know, she ran for governor during the Republican primary against old Slick Rick Perry and Kay Bailout Hutchinson. And we are joined by her today. She also started a group, WeTexans.org. Got a lot going in this next 2011 legislative session. Deborah Medina, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good, John. Good to be with you. Yeah, WeTexans.com, though. So if folks are looking for us on the Internet, we want to be sure they can find me. We are out there fighting hard on the sovereignty issues and, in particular, on private property issues in Texas.
Yeah, we've been talking about private property on the program, and it sounds like one of y'all's major initiatives is to roll back the property tax here in Texas. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, I don't want it just roll back. I want it dead and gone, buried forever. We have some real opportunity in this coming session, unlike anything that we've seen in our lifetime. Probably Texas is going to be facing some economic pain that's going to force us to do some things differently. I was just reading an article this morning out of the American Conservative magazine where Pat Buchanan is actually pointing out what's going on the other side of the, what do they call that, the other side of the pond over in the UK. The prime minister there is proposing huge cuts, and Buchanan's making the point that we're not willing to do that here in the United States. We're going to be forced to do that here in Texas since we have that balanced budget amendment, and we are looking at, I think the number is now a $24 billion deficit going into the next session. So huge cuts in the amount of government in Texas, and in order to really spur the economy, I keep saying the answer is yes, cut spending, but it's also we are the most regulated state in the country and very highly taxed. We've got to get rid of the property tax if we want this economy to function like it ought to. So it's both a freedom issue and an economic issue. Get rid of the property tax in Texas.
Right on. Yeah, a lot of people aren't familiar with the straits, the economic straits that our state's in. I think a lot of listeners especially are big fans of old Slick Rick Perry, the supposed small government conservative. But over his tenure, the size of government really has grown a lot. Is that true, Deborah?
It's our government spending is way up. Our debt has nearly tripled. We have $34 billion worth of debt here in Texas. If we do not take out another dime of debt, the state of Texas will not get out of debt until something like 2047.
Wow.
Pacific Research Institute says we are now the second most highly regulated state in the country. Only Louisiana has more state regulation than does Texas. And our state government, state and local government in Texas, exceeds the size of state and local government in every other state in the union except for New York. So we really have done all the things that Republicans say they hate. We've done them right here in Texas under Republican leadership. I was talking to a gentleman who's very influential in business, works at one of the kind of Austin associated, you know, lobby group, think tank kind of areas. And he said, yeah, it really is a misnomer that Texas is an attractive climate for business. He said, when you look at the amount of tax on business in Texas, Texas really has one of the highest business tax burdens of all the states. Businesses are coming here because of other factors, but we're not making it easy for them to do that. And I say eliminate property tax, shrink government, and we really will see the economy start to pick up. But now, we're not doing it the way we've been going.
Well, I want to ask you, because this is very attractive, but to some people it might sound like, okay, shrink government and eliminate the property tax, but then we're in this like financial straits. So how is eliminating the property tax, how do you envision that really happening? And is there something that would come along to replace that income, or are we just, you know, cutting things down to the bone?
Yeah, you can't, you know, a lot of people would like to hang the anarchy tag around my neck, I guess. I probably ought to clarify that I do believe that there is a proper role for a small, limited government. I think we need local law enforcement, and I think we need roads and infrastructure, and our Constitution in Texas says we will provide a public education system for the children of Texas. So we do have to have local government in schools. There must be a way to fund that. It's just the property tax is one of the worst ways to do that. We're advocating a sales tax, both a consumer sales tax and a business sales tax, and have a very extensive plan. We've done a more detailed analysis than anybody's ever done on this in Texas, and the listeners can find that. It's a 165, I think, page plan on our website, wetexans.com, right-hand side under helpful links, eliminating property tax in Texas, a detailed fiscal analysis, but basically a sales tax to fund local government and schools.
Right on. Now I'm going to throw you a tough one. I've gotten mixed answers on this one, but surely you would be able to give me one of the best answers here in the state. So how would that affect working class, non-property owners who have a lower income if the sales tax were to go up and even if the property tax were to be eliminated? Would that perhaps put an undue burden on them?
Well, that's a really good question. I think there are a lot of fearmongers out there who would like us, you know, they want to throw around the tax rate at 20%. If you look at this study, we're proposing a 7.5% state sales tax. The sales tax currently is 6.25. Hmm. And most people say, yeah, I could handle, you know, that little bit of an increase in my consumer sales tax. But what they don't realize is that all of those businesses have had their cost of business going down, including apartment complexes. I've talked to a number of commercial realty people that say you may see property rents drop in anywhere in the neighborhood of 25% to 30%. So the cost of housing, because the tax on homes and places where we live has been eliminated, the cost of where you live will drop. Whether you're a homeowner, you're an apartment dweller, you live in a mobile home of some sort, your cost of housing will fall in Texas.
That's great.
One thing that we talked about earlier in the show is having a property tax sort of makes a homeowner never really have ownership of the one thing that, I mean, really is a foundation of free society, is to be able to have a piece of land or a home that you own free and clear, and you aren't paying rent in the form of property tax for the rest of your life.
Well, Jason, you and I think, are both historians. We love to go back and look at history. And, man, even the Greeks and the Romans fought over that. The Greeks recognized the importance of private property ownership. The Romans wanted the ownership of the property and its productive capacity to be held by the government. And every socialist nation has fought over that since the beginning of time. Who's going to own the property? The people or the government? I vote for the people.
Yeah, I second that.
That means you cannot have a property tax, because absolutely, with a tax, we're just squatters on that land. Mm-hmm. And tax is really we need to start calling it what it is. I'm going to pay my property rent now. We called it a property rent. I'm renting my property from the county, the city, the mud district, the emergency service district, the school board. Then it would be what it is. It's a rent.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and we've just all been so conditioned over a long period of time that property taxes is just, that's just what it is. You pay them, it's part of life. And
death,
I really think,
taxes.
Yeah, and I really think it's time to challenge a lot of those long held beliefs, which just says, you know what, there's no other way, there's no alternative. And so it's just a process of educating, I think, and that's one thing that I think we Texans can really do, is continue to educate people in Texas about this issue, to say, look, the end of the property tax isn't the end of the world, people. It's actually the beginning of freedom.
It is the beginning of freedom, and we need to, you know, I've started challenging people to think about tax. There's nothing else that you pay a tax over and over and over again. And people immediately are going to go, no, we pay the income tax every year. That's true, but you pay the income tax on last year's income. You don't keep paying it on something that you earned 5 years ago. You pay it on what you earned last year, whether that's new wage earnings or it's new capital gains or it's new interest on saved prior income. You're just paying your income tax on new income.
Mm-hmm.
The property tax is a rent. Let's start calling it property rent. Get rid of property tax / rent in Texas, and then we will fund government in a more appropriate manner, and that's with a sales or consumption tax.
Yep, that's great. So, yeah, WeTexans.com has a lot of information. And then for those of you out there that are looking to get involved with the 2011 legislative session, there's going to be a lot of activity going on there. WeTexans is going to be playing a major role in that. We do have an election coming up, Deborah, and wanted to get your take on the political climate. Do you think the Tea Party is going to be able to come through and actually put some genuine conservatives? What do you think about the gubernatorial election? Are there any specific candidates that you guys are supporting?
I don't see any evidence of that in Texas, unfortunately, and I know that, you know, was kind of a wet rag on what people are hoping, probably, I would say. There certainly are a couple of major wins from the primary. I have to point to new state representative David Simpson out of Northeast Texas and Charles Perry out of the Lubbock area. I think there's high hopes that both of those guys will really be limited government activists. I think there's ample evidence, unfortunately, that members of the Texas Conservative Coalition, the majority of Republicans in the Texas House and the Texas Senate, are big government Republicans. They have championed government growth and government regulation, and that mindset, as I often point out, carries, you know, comes up from the base. It starts at the school board, the city council, the commissioner's court. You guys are finding that in Austin right now as you're trying to even get your commissioners to listen to the evidence about voting systems and the voting machines that are being used. They don't even want to listen to the objective, you know, don't confuse me with the facts on these issues. So it starts there, it feeds up to bigger government, and what we have in the Texas legislature by and large are big government Republicans. I'm a little government Republican, and so championing those ideas. Let's not wait till January. People are really already focusing and drafting much of the legislation that will be considered. We've got to be having the conversation with these guys right now.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe we got about 2 minutes left in the interview, and thank you so much for joining us, Deb. Maybe you can give us some thoughts on old Slick Rick and some of your thoughts on the upcoming election, the gubernatorial race specifically, because I think there's a lot of listeners on this network that are fans of Rick, and unfortunately, I think he deceived a lot of the grassroots conservatives during the primary.
Well, I think, you know, the polls today and everything that we've seen over the last couple of weeks say that he is going to win re-election. I have been fighting for nearly 20 years, and I think we have more people engaging in that today than ever before. I think we have more people awake, but it's going to take pressure and a lot of it from grassroots activists around the state if the behavior is going to change. I have said, and you know, people can take it for what it's worth, Deborah Medina is not voting for people unless she can vote for them. So unless I see evidence in your action that you're going to legislate in a way that's consistent with what I believe is the proper role of government, very limited, no deficit spending, you know, debt for hardly anything, I'm not voting for you, and I'm skipping races on the ballot. I think until we start to see Republicans winning with or presumed conservatives, you know, when they get a 65-70% voter base, they think they have a mandate to continue what they've been doing. I think we better shake them a little bit. Skip the race if you're not really excited about that candidate, even if you can't vote for their opponent. Maybe if we start to see slimmer margins, people will realize, oh my gosh, I better wake up and start doing my job. And I think that we've got a really tough session that we're going into. The deficit is going to be very difficult, but it looks like, you know, all indicators are that Governor Perry is going to win re-election, which means business will continue as usual unless people get really, really involved.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you so much for the interview, Deborah. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't stop at the ballot box. You got to continue to hold these elected representatives accountable. And We Texans will be doing just that during the legislative session. So check out WeTexans.com. Get involved. Stick it to the man. Bring some genuine small government conservatism to the state house. And thanks again, Deborah.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this break. Live free, Austin, rocking and rolling, moving and grooving.
More energy. stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Have you ever wondered if the news is telling you everything there is to know about important current events? Well, so do we. We're Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, one block south of UT. Interested in that book or video that you've heard about from your favorite talk show host? More than likely, we've got it in stock. Give us a call at 480-2503 or visit us at bravenewbookstore.com and let Brave New Books help you read between the lines.
Hi, Harlan Dietrich, owner of Brave New Books. What do you think of when I say lifeless, dumb creatures that usually work in groups to surround and kill their victims? If you said a federal government employee, you're only half right. I'm really talking about zombies. Brave New Books has been Austin's premier zombie preparedness store for over 4 years. When friends and family became infected and ignored you when talking about important issues, you could always come to the bookstore to get the resources you needed to help slay those ghastly creatures. Well, now Brave New Books needs you to come out on Sunday, October 24th, to the U.S. Art Authority for the first annual Brave New Books Benefit and Zombie Costume Ball with special guest Jim Mars. Also, live music, games, and Jim Mars will be giving a talk on his new book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How Zombie Banks Are Destroying America. Come dressed as the best zombie and win an autographed copy. $10 at the door helps support the bookstore, so please try to attend Sunday, October 24th, starting at 6 p.m. at the U.S. Art Authority at 29th and Guadalupe. Because remember, only together, as a community, can we stop the zombie apocalypse.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Live Free Austin, living freely on a daily basis every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Check us out. Check us out. Check us out. We've had a great program today. I want to thank Deborah Medina again for coming on the show. It was a wonderful interview. And now we're going to chat about a couple events coming up. And additionally, we're going to do our Facebook comment of the week. Yeah. So
yeah, we put that out there last week. To just get people's thoughts on a particular issue. We're going to do that every week because, you know, we really want to engage people online, get people's opinions on some of these things. I mean, maybe we are sitting here like crazy lunatics talking about some of these issues.
Loony libertarians.
Yeah, that's right. And we want to know, hey, are we crazy? Or do you get what we're throwing? Are you catching what we're pitching?
Yeah, you picking up what we're putting down.
That's right.
But first, we got a couple events to remind you of. First of all, the Students for Liberty. It's a small L libertarian organization on college campuses. Students for Liberty will be holding their annual conference here at the University of Texas Thompson Conference Center. And that's going to be November 6th, Saturday, November 6th, at the University of Texas Thompson Conference Center. That's 2405 Robert Dedman Drive. Check out studentsforliberty.com. It's going to start at 9 a.m. There's going to be several speakers to be there. Gary Johnson, the ex-governor of New Mexico, who's probably going to be running for president here in 2012. We're supporters of his on the program. He will be there to speak, deliver a speech. So for you younger guys out there, this is a student event. There's a lot of great young, brilliant minds that go to these. I was there in 2009. Jason and I are going to be there as well. So we want to invite you out to that. Again, it's Saturday, November 6th, 9 a.m. at the UT Thompson Conference Center, 2405.com.
There's also going to be a speaker there, Stefan Kinsella, who is going to be talking about a controversial issue, really dealing with intellectual property rights, which is, it's controversial in that, you know, we live in an age now where, you know, with digital media, that intellectual property rights is really becoming this really sort of interesting issue where mm-hmm. it's kind of difficult for people to come land on the same side of the issue. There's a lot of ramifications. So, you know, I invite you to come and check that out as well, some of the other speakers. And we'll be there representing the Foundation for a Free Society. Again, you can check us out at myfreesociety.com.
Whose free society?
It's mine, but it's also yours. It's our free society.
We can share it collectively and redistribute the wealth.
No, I'm just kidding. That wouldn't be a free society. Additionally, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Texans for Accountable Government, a transpartisan local political action committee, will be gathering for their third annual Stop Vampire Cops protest. We'll be meeting at 8:30 p.m. tonight on 7th and Neches, the northwest corner of 7th and Neches, for a press conference to be held at 9 o'clock. We're going to be dressed like vampire cops. We're going to be pushing back on old Artie Boy Acevedo, the chief vampire himself. I want to drink your blood.
No!
We're going to be pushing back to stop these no-refusal weekends, which will be going on tonight, all this weekend, actually. So if you guys are going to go out there and booze, check out squarepatrol.com. They'll give you a free ride home, and they actually drive a scooter out to your vehicle, pop it in your trunk. It's collapsible, and then they drive your drunk butt on home so you don't have to leave your car around. But we're going to be out promoting them and also pushing back on Austin Police Department for these no-refusal weekends. So if you want to join us in pushing back and getting the word out, again, 8:30 p.m. tonight at the northwest corner of 7th and Neches. We'll be there dressed as vampire cops. Check out tagtexas.org on that one. But that leads us into the Facebook question of the week. Guys, join our Facebook page at Live Free Austin there on Facebook, or you could link to it on livefreeaustinradio.com. And we asked the Live Free Austin question of the week. How do you feel about the use of no-refusal weekends and forced blood withdrawals by police officers as a deterrent to drunk driving? How do you feel, Jason?
Well, I feel that it is a gross infringement on liberty, on my personal liberty. It's gross because, I mean, ew. They're totally sticking you with a needle.
That's bad.
That is gross. But yeah. It's also gross in that it's egregious. And that
egregiously
my,
gross.
There's no, you know, you want to talk about property. I mean, is there any question? Is there any political philosophy out there that believes that your own blood is not your property? Please.
Socialism.
I think
everybody's property.
I think even the dirty progressives, I think they even think that our blood is our own property.
That's right. So the Facebook comment of the week, again, check out our Facebook page. We might read your comment there on the air. This one comes from Brian Parrott, and he says, I don't like the tactic, but I think it probably makes some people think twice about getting behind the wheel after drinking, especially considering the chief vampire's desire for DWAI law so they can arrest and draw blood from just about everybody. I'm surprised he hasn't been more vocal about setting up a DNA database of the people. Which he does want. Yep, your police chief wants a DNA database so they can, again, take your property, send it into Department of Homeland Security database, probably. But that's the Facebook comment of the week on the vampire cops. Definitely not in line with the philosophy of liberty, which is what we like to chat about, and we like to spread out there and educate the people about the philosophy of liberty, the most consistent political philosophy out there, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you embrace it. Again, join our Facebook page at Live Free Austin. Check out the website, livefreeaustin.com. We hope you enjoyed the program today.
Yeah, and check out, again, livefreeaustinradio.com for, you know, the upcoming topics, following week, that sort of thing. We really hope that you are enjoying this program and that you're learning a few things. And really, we want to hear from you. We want to know, you know, some issues maybe you'd like to hear covered or maybe some disagreements you have. Again, join us on the Facebook page, on the website. We'd love to hear back from you. I'm Jason Rink, and this is
John Bush. Every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m., folks.
Live free, Austin.
Yeah.